This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a show we have put on the air on the WRMJ airwaves since the station signed on back in 1979. That was well before my time, but I go with what I've been told. This is Ty Taylor. Really appreciate you tuning into Sportsline again this week. And the reason we're able to do this show week after week, year after year, is because of our fine local sponsors like our man Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. We bring you Sportsline every week from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios here in downtown Alito. Wednesday, May 21st, mark that date. Dale Jones with Merit Auctions holding a real estate and personal property auction for Doyle and Annette Spear. The real estate will sell first on May 21st at 1 p.m. in a virtual online auction. It's a nicely laid out three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath ranch home built in 1998. Great year. That's the year I was born. The home is in a fantastic Alito location on a double lot that's across the street from Mercer County's Apollo Elementary School. The full and mostly finished basement nearly doubles the living area of the home with many updates throughout. You can arrange a private showing by calling Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. That number to call, 309-299-6400. Again, 309-299-6400 to arrange a private showing of the home. And then at 2 p.m. on May 21st, the personal property will be sold in a timed online auction. It's a small but nice offering of modern furniture, household items, collectibles, and more. Visit meritauctions.com to view the complete auction listing for online bidding and early registration. And it's a virtual online residential real estate auction, then a timed online personal property auction for Doyle and Annette Spear. That is coming up on Wednesday, May 21st with our man Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. All right, we're into Sportsline now, and the show is going to look and sound a little bit different this week and moving forward as well. I'll explain why quickly, and then we'll get into the show. Basically, my dad and I had a huge falling out at my sister's wedding. We got in a huge... No, I'm kidding. What happened and why he's not here this week is because, as a lot of people know, maybe some people don't, because he was on the air with us so much at WRMJ still is. For the past few years, my dad has not been a full-time employee of the radio station here in Alito. He served the station basically as an independent contractor. His main job is with the RFD radio network and with the Illinois Farm Bureau. And his agreement with the station as an independent contractor, it expired on April 30th. So that's why he's not here. And that is why I am now tasked with being able to produce a full hour of local sports coverage every Saturday by myself now. So we'll see how this goes, I guess. We have a couple of good guests coming up today on the program to get you to stick around instead of having to just hear me drone on and on and on all by myself this week. We'll be joined by new Bureau Valley High School football coach Pat Elder, of course, longtime friend of the WRMJ airwaves, a great run as the head coach of Sherrard back when I was a toddler, right, from 2000 to 2006, a great seven-year run there. He's wrapping up his time coaching eight-man football at Ridgewood, led the Spartans to a great run the past 3 years in Ridgewood's first 3 years playing eight-man football. He makes the move to Bureau Valley, where he will start in the fall of 2025. So we have a really good, long conversation with Coach Pat Elder coming up a little bit later in the program. We get into the decision to make the move to Bureau Valley, switch it back up to 11-man for him, and also just get into some general topical high school football conversation, as well as Coach Elder, of course, a lifer in the high school football coaching landscape for sure. He'll start his 25th year as a varsity football coach in the fall with Bureau Valley. The Storm of Lincoln Trail Conference member, they're a part of that Lincoln Land Conference merger between the Lincoln Trail and the Prairie Land. Coach Elder is an Alexis grad, so he'll get back to competing with some of those Lincoln Trail Conference opponents he grew up playing against, as in Alexis Cardinal. Our first guest today, though, who will join us in about 10 or 15 minutes or so, is Mercer County High School boys track and field coach Emily Voller. The Golden Eagles, they really made some waves with winning the McLauk Invitational. Both the boys and girls teams won that event on Tuesday that's hosted by Mercer County. But it was the boys track and field team at Mercer County that had the huge day. A lot of records broken, whether it be, you know, PRs that individual kids set. Some school records were set as part of that great performance that Mercer County put out there, beating Monmouth Roseville by 11 points at the meet. And really, I think the big headline, and we'll talk about it with Coach Voller here coming up on Sportsline this morning, is Mercer County. Their two sprint relays are really, really, really impressive. In the 4x100-meter relay on Tuesday at that McLauk Invitational win, Mercer County's relay team of John Baldwin, Jacob Kenny, Tannen Whitehall, and Dalen Blazer ran a 53.21 in the 4x100-meter relay, which currently is the second best time in the state. And then even better than that, the 4x200-meter relay team, which was run on Tuesday at the McLauk Invite by John Baldwin, Xander Houston, Tannen Whitehall, and Dalen Blazer, ran a 131.41, which currently sits as the best 4x200-meter time in the state. So the Golden Eagles, especially with those two relays we just talked about in both the 4x100 and the 4x200, have a chance to not only medal at the state meet later this month, but I think really there's a potential that they're going to compete for a state championship, it looks like, if they're able to stay healthy and kind of keep up with the pace they're at right now. So that's been fun to follow for sure so far this spring. So we'll get into that and a lot more with Mercer County boys track and field coach Emily Voller. Golden Eagles finished second at the Tiger Relays yesterday behind Kiwani in the boys' field over at Clifford King Field at Sherrard. And unsurprisingly, right, the Sherrard girls track and field team took first place at the Tiger Relays on the girls' side of things over there. Coming up, the Three Rivers Athletic Conference track and field meets this coming week. The girls will compete at the conference meet on May 8th. That's hosted by Monmouth Roseville. And then May 16th is the boys' Three Rivers Athletic Conference track and field meet. Sherrard hosting that this year. And then we'll turn our focus to the postseason with sectionals in track and field coming up here in just a few weeks. Some news that was kind of surprising this week as well in the high school sports landscape locally. Now over at Sherrard, the Tigers are going to be looking for a new head football coach. Brandon Johnston resigned from that spot on Wednesday. We confirmed that with him on Wednesday afternoon, speaking with Coach Johnston. So he was the head coach at Sherrard for 4 years. I thought he did a great job, and really, you know, we had him on a couple of weeks ago. He was talking about the Sherrard Core Leadership Program that he started over in the Sherrard School District at both the high school and the junior high levels. And it just felt like the past couple of years, especially, they had making strides, but just were kind of a victim of circumstance where I know 2 seasons ago they finished 3-6, but I think lost 3 games by 1 score. And then last year, just a crazy rash of injuries they had to try to deal with and overcome when already numbers weren't great. So we will miss Coach Johnston for sure. I really don't have, or I should say, I can't say enough good words about him. I thought he did a tremendous job. Of course, he had a great run at Anawan Weathersfield at Sherrard. I thought he really started to kind of get momentum going, and then just last year with injuries, like I said, it kind of derailed some of that momentum. But on the personal side of things too, I know working with Coach Johnston has been just such a great time, and he's been such a friend to the station, and he's one of those guys that no matter what you need, like from our vantage point or from our perspective, ask him for whatever, he'll provide you with it. I covered Sherrard every week a couple of seasons ago, that year I just mentioned where they went 3-6, and it was some of the most fun I've had on this job, just week in and week out, following around with that program and getting to know Coach Johnston and his assistants. So definitely going to miss Brandon Johnston as the head football coach at Sherrard. And with that resignation coming, you know, April 30th, so basically in May, I mean, now it feels like Sherrard a little bit behind the eight ball in terms of trying to find its next football coach. I don't know how many teaching openings they have available still for next school year. Sherrard's next school board meeting is May 21st, and you'd like to think, I mean, in a perfect world, you hope to have a coach by at least the end of May with summer starting up. I think most football teams, for the most part nowadays, though, don't really get going full swing in the summer until July, but still kind of late in the game for them to be searching for a head coach, so I'm sure that process will be a little bit expedited. Again, Sherrard's next school board meeting May 21st, so something to follow later this month. We had another really fun TrackWest softball game on the air this week. The other broadcasts we had scheduled were rained out, but Wednesday we had the makeup day between Rockridge and Sherrard in softball. Rockets win it by one run over the Tigers for the second time this year. The exact same score as the game earlier in the season, 6-5. Rockridge in that game got three home runs, a two-run homer off the bat of Charlie Perkins in the first inning. Taylor Dietrich hit a home run to dead center field, and Estella Bogner hit a go-ahead home run in the top of the sixth inning for Rockridge in that. When Sherrard hit two homers in the game as well, Mackenzie Moran and Savannah Hoggerich went deep for the Tigers in the first inning. Sherrard led 3-2 for a while before Rockridge tied it, I think, 3-3 in the fifth, and then took a lead, scoring three runs to go ahead 6-3 in the top of the sixth. Tigers answered with two on Wednesday in the bottom of the sixth, stranded a runner at third base in the sixth inning, and then really just a tremendous diving catch to close the game by Stella Riley in the bottom of the seventh inning, Rockridge's second baseman. Sherrard had a runner at first base as the tying run with two outs, a ball off the bat of Sherrard's eight-hitter Ava Stanley. Looked like he was going to get through the hole up the middle for a hit, but Riley from her second base spot ranges to her right, lays out, and makes a great play, and really just another terrific game between Rockridge and Sherrard in softball. I believe that was the 24th straight win for Rockridge over Sherrard in that softball series, but I know the last 2 years, all four games have been very competitive. I think three of the four have been one-run games, and the other game, I think last year, was a two-run game. They played a doubleheader last year, and 2 years ago, Rockridge and Sherrard played that wild game that I think the final score is 29-21 in. That was when, when Rockridge was still on the IHSA record winning streak of 73 games is what it ended up getting to before it was broken. So Rockridge gets a couple of big softball wins this week. They beat Sherrard, as we mentioned there, on Wednesday. Earlier in the week on Monday, they picked up a win over Riverdale and handed Riverdale its first conference loss of the season in softball. Game two between Rockridge and Riverdale, scheduled for Thursday, was rained out. It was postponed and move to next Saturday, May 10th. And that could potentially basically be a de facto conference championship game. The softball standings in the TrackWest right now, Rockridge is at 6-1, Riverdale 5-1, Mercer County 5-3, Sherrard is at 3-3 in the league, Orion 2-5, and then Monmouth Roseville at 0-8. Mercer County, after getting swept by Sherrard last week in conference action, won five games this week. They had a full week, picked up three conference wins. They had two games against Monmouth Roseville and then a game against Orion in the league that they were able to sweep those three conference opponents. Mercer County will close its TrackWest schedule this week with a pair of games against Riverdale. Rockridge, they still have a game with Riverdale to play, plus two games against Orion. Sherrard still with four conference games to get in. They'll play Monmouth Roseville twice this week, a makeup date with Orion on May 13th, and Sherrard and Riverdale still trying to work out a makeup date for their softball game that was rained out earlier in the spring. Now, on the baseball side of things, Sherrard picked up a win over Orion in conference play this week by a score of 10-3. Sherrard still unbeaten in Track West baseball. They're alone in first place at 5-0. The Tigers and Rock Ridge started the makeup game they had from earlier in the season on Wednesday, the same night that Rock Ridge Sherrard softball game took place that we were talking about. It was a really long first inning. I think it lasted 44 minutes. It was 5-4 Sherrard at the end of the first, but the rain was still coming down, and the mound was in really bad shape, so that game was suspended. I don't believe a makeup date has been set for that yet, but they'll pick that game back up in the top of the second inning later this spring with Sherrard leading by a score of 5-4. With that win over Orion, the Tigers, they remain with a two-game lead in the loss column in the Track West baseball standings. Riverdale in second place right now with a 5-2 record. Rock Ridge at 4-3 in the league. The Rockets and the Rams split a pair of games in league action this week. Mercer County sits in fourth right now in the Track West baseball race at 3-4. Monmouth Roseville is at 2-6. Orion 1-5 in Track West action. And really, the thing to look at this week in the baseball and softball world, the IHSA level, is the postseason seeding will be done this week. The postseason brackets will be out this week as well. So taking a look at what our local schools will see on the postseason path, we'll start on the softball side of things. So here's the local subsectional with the regional sites being Brimfield and Farmington. The teams that make up the subsectional, which will be split into two regionals, are Mercer County, Brimfield, Farmington, Knoxville, LVC, Monmouth, Roseville, Orion, Riverdale, Alleman, Sherrard, and Rock Ridge. Five of those 11 teams are ranked in the Illinois Softball Coaches Association 2A rankings this week. The teams that are ranked are Mercer County, Brimfield, Rock Ridge, Sherrard, and Riverdale. And then the sectional site for softball in the local subsectional moves to the sectional round. It's in Chillicothe, the super sectional at Eastside Center in East Peoria. Real quickly, I'll run through a projection of how I would put the seeds for the local softball subsectional. We'll go through the baseball as well in a moment, and then we'll get to our guests this week on Sportsline. So on the softball side of things, I have Rock Ridge seeded first. The schedule they play, the competition beyond reproach, six straight trips to the state finals, one of the best programs in the state. I don't think there's much argument. They swept Sherrard as well this year, so I have them at number one. I have Riverdale seated second. The big difference there between Riverdale and Sherrard is they've played once and Riverdale won 10-8. I have Sherrard seated three, Brimfield at 23-2. I'll put them at fourth, and I have Mercer County seated fifth. And then from Mercer County down, it feels 6-11 are kind of pretty easy to put the puzzle pieces together there. I think Knoxville will be seated sixth, Farmington seventh, LVC eight, Alleman nine, Orion 10, and then Monmouth Roseville 11. So with that, again, the top four regional, or I should say the top four seeds in the subsectional get split up between the two regional hosts, with traditionally the number one seed and the number four seed going to the same regional, and then the other regional is where the number two and three seeds go, and then the seeds that are 5-11 in this case would go to the regional site that is closest geographically, which again, those sites are Farmington and Brimfield. On the baseball side of things, here are the 11 teams that make up the subsectional for us locally in baseball, with the regional sites being Bureau Valley and Monmouth Roseville. The teams are Mercer County, IVC, Kewaunee, Knoxville, Bureau Valley, Monmouth Roseville, Orion, Princeton, Sherrard Hall, and Rock Ridge. Now, this is much more challenging. When I was putting this together yesterday, trying to come up with a little bit of a segment to do here on Sportsline, the only thing that I know for a fact is that Knoxville will be seated 11th. Outside of that, it feels like everybody else could really be seated anywhere. And it's, and baseball is one of those sports too, and we've talked about this on this show a lot this year. It's such a pitching derived sport, and it's different than softball because you can't pitch the same kid every day, obviously. So with that, the matchups, they fluctuate based on who's pitching, and a lot of times you see like the head-to-head results throughout the year, and you don't really know what the pitching matchup was, so you don't know really what you can even take away from head-to-head results throughout the season. But here is how I would seed it. This is like throwing darts at a dartboard, though. So I wouldn't, not that I would take the softball one with anything for me. It doesn't matter what I think, I guess, at the end of the day. But this especially doesn't matter what I think. But here's how I would seed it. I would seed it Sherrard 1, Hall 2, Bureau Valley 3, IVC 4, and then Rock Ridge at 5, Orion at 6, Princeton at 7, Kewaunee at 8, Mercer County at 9, Monmouth Roseville 10, Knoxville 11. That's how I do it. Again, the only thing I can tell you is that Knoxville will be seated 11th. Outside of that, it is up in the air, up and down that subsectional, which should make it pretty interesting. The only reason I put Sherrard at 1 is because I know they lost to Hall. Hall, though, has some weird losses, and I do think of the 11 teams, Sherrard has the best pitcher for sure, and Aiden Taranez. I'm pretty confident that when he pitches, they should be good to go in terms of getting wins. But obviously, you know, you can't just pitch Aiden Taranez the whole postseason. So it'll be interesting to follow. Again, those regional sites are Bureau Valley and Monmouth Roseville in baseball. The sectional also locally will be in Chillicothe for baseball, the super sectional to Geneseo. And one thing that was news from this week on the baseball side of things, the state finals host changed this year for 1A and 2A baseball because there's a scheduling conflict at the traditional site, which is Dozier Park in Peoria, the home of the Peoria Chiefs. So this year only, the 1A and 2A state finals for baseball will be held at the University of Illinois at Illinois Field in Champaign, Urbana. So that's a look at what's ahead in terms of this week. We'll get to see what the postseason seeds look like and what the postseason brackets look like in both baseball and softball. Should be interesting on both sides of things. A lot of competitive games, I think, coming up in the postseason. Well, as we mentioned earlier, have some good guests to talk to today. Coming up next, we'll talk with Emily Voller, the boys track and field coach at Mercer County. A really nice week for the Golden Eagles. A second place finish, the Tiger Relays. Earlier, I should say that was last night, and then earlier in the week, a first-place finish at the McLauk Invitational. A lot of records broken in the track and field program on the boys' side at Mercer County back on Tuesday, so we'll talk about that and more with Emily Voller coming up next. And later in the show, we'll check in with Pat Elder, the new football coach at Bureau Valley. As we talked about earlier, great stint at Sherrard, leaving Ridgewood, a longtime friend of the WRMJ airwaves. Hey, appreciate you sticking around with me for about 20 minutes. We'll come back and make me less lonely, right? I've got a couple of friends we'll talk to on the phone. Emily Voller next and Pat Elder later on the show. It's the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Looking for the perfect fit? 614 Zero Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 614 Zero Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your feet will thank you.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
And this is Ty Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We get a chance to talk with Mercer County High School boys track and field coach Emily Voller. It's been a great start to the season for the Golden Eagles as we get into mid-May. Like I said, Coach Voller, looks like it's been going pretty well for the Golden Eagles in boys track and field. Is that right?
Yes, we've had an awesome year so far. Highlight winning the McLauk invite this year. We didn't win it last year, so it felt extra good to win it alongside with the girls team this year and be dual champs. And that's just such an awesome meet to win. But we've won 4 of our 5 invites so far this outdoor season, which is really exciting.
Well, you mentioned winning the McLauk invite at home this week, and we'll talk about that performance specifically in a moment. But I know McLauk is a name people think of when it comes to track in the Mercer County School District. So, I mean, what does it mean to win a plaque that says McLauk invite champs on it? That's got to be pretty cool still, right?
It really is. Yeah. Last year we were runners up, so we still got the small plaque, but yeah, to be able to both boys and girls bring home that plaque, and Mick is of course there because he's still a huge part of our programs. So it's very awesome.
Well, it was a record-breaking day, really, at the McLauk invite for the boys' side, especially whether it be, you know, PRs or school records that were set basically up and down the lineup. It looked like so. Just speaking about that performance, I mean, for you watching that as a coach, I mean, when were you able to tell, like, hey, this is a really special performance we're putting together up and down the entire lineup here today?
Well, meet-wise, like point-wise, it went to the 200 before I really felt like, okay, I think we've got this, because we were back and forth with Monmouth Roseville all night. You know, sometimes they were ahead by 5 and then we'd be ahead by 2. And so it was back and forth. But we just, regardless of the points, we had an amazing night and lots of first place performances, lots of meet records set, like you said, and it was just a really special night.
And I believe you scored in every event that you competed in too. And through that,
yes,
like you touched on earlier, you know, 4 meet wins out of the 5 invites you've been a part of. So is that something you've seen throughout the year where you're basically getting, you know, point production up and down the lineup?
Yeah, it is. You know, we got Bodie Salmon is back this year. He missed almost the entire season last year to injury. And that hurt us not having him, because he always places high in shot and disc. We have Liam Hodges is a freshman high jumper. And so, like, those are points that we didn't have last year that we're consistently having this year. The relays are doing phenomenally well, especially considering we've gone to a lot of meets where there's not a ton of competition for, you know, those sprint relays and even the 4x8. So it's really awesome to see them continue to do well and to get better and to set PRs. And it's been great.
And I think too, the other thing I like kind of watching your results throughout the season is it feels like the production you're getting it from, you know, the longtime track standouts that you knew you would. Some young kids have been scoring for you. And then you have some really, like, high level newcomers to track and field this year. Maybe returners is a better word to say, but, like, for you as a coach, I mean, what's it been like trying to mix and match and find the right spot for everybody in this lineup with so much versatility, it feels like?
Yeah, it's a wonderful problem to have, right? That we have these kids, especially sprint side, because distance side, we don't have as many kids. So you end up depending on those 4 or 5 kids a lot for all of those distance events. But when you have kids, seniors like Jack McKnight and Mason Coulter, like, their enthusiasm for track is contagious, I think. So I think the younger kids, like, they're excited about it too. And then we've got sprinters where, you know, I can mix and match a bit in the relays, which is great, but adds another level of stress, I suppose, figuring out who to put where. But yeah, we returned on the sprint side, you know, John Baldwin and Dalen Blazer and Xander Houston has been healthy this year, which has been really huge. And then some newcomer sprinters, Tannen Whitehall and Jacob Kenny, who decided to give track a try this year in addition to doing baseball, and have really become huge as far as where our relays and even in the opens are able to place.
Well, you mentioned the basically the five kids that make up the 4x1 and the 4x200 meter relay teams for you. You spoke earlier about how strong of a year that those two groups have had, and I saw, you know, with the performance that they put together on Tuesday, I think your 4x100 relay team currently has the second best time in the state. And then the 4x2, mm-hmm. I saw the best time in the state right now. So you have two relay teams that, you know, not just have a chance to medal at state, but have a chance to maybe win a state championship. So speaking about those two relay teams, I mean, what makes them be able to have such elite times, you think, that you've noticed?
I mean, they're just fast. These are, it's a group of really fast kids. And handoffs have, for the most part, gone well. We messed up a handoff at Rock Ridge. But it's a learning experience and it's a good meet. You know, any meet that's not sectionals or state is a good meet to make that mistake in, to learn from. And they're kids that consistently show up and work hard. I don't have that group of five that make up the 4x1, 4x2. And then I'll throw 4x4 in there too. Brody Clark, he ran on our 4x4 and they're eighth right now listed in state, but they're kids that show up and work hard and certainly have faced some adversity. Xander, like I mentioned earlier, he had a rough year last year with injuries and then has been hurt again this year. Last Friday was his first meet back for outdoor. John has been struggling with shin issues. Jacob, Tannen still struggles with his foot, but they're kids who are going to, you know, put in the work to heal themselves and also are willing to go do these crazy pool workouts that allow them to work hard, but be easier on their bodies. So I think it's a combination of just pure talent and a willingness to work hard. And, you know, thankfully Dalen has mostly been completely healthy, knock on wood. He's had a few little injuries, but he's somebody too. I mean, he's going to show up every day and give me everything he can. And that's what you need.
Yeah. So you talked about there, Jacob Kenny and Tannen Whitehall, both kids who are newcomers from last year out in track and field. So I know, like we touched on, they're both part of those two really high level relay teams. And I'm not a kid. I never was involved in track and field, but I think when you're new to it, like the relay handoff can be a little bit awkward, or it looked like it can be.
Yep.
So just the aspect of that, from them getting acclimated to that, like you said, you know, they're really, really fast, but have you liked the progression from them in that aspect of things?
Yeah, because you know what, both of them are kids who have asked me questions, and both Jacob and Tannen, it was their handoff that got bobbled at Rock Ridge, and both of them came to me and asked, like, what did I do wrong, what should I have done? And I love that, because that shows they care, they want to figure it out. And the mistake they made was something that they could have been doing track for 8 years and it could have been made. It happens, but they're interested in learning. They listen to, you know, John and Dalen and Xander, they listen to me, and they want to perform well. Because handoffs, especially in the 4x1, like, it's awesome where we're seated in state, but the 4x1, first place to 10th place right now is less than a second. I mean, that comes down to handoffs. You can be the four fastest kids in the state, and if you can't get the baton around the track, you're not going to place. So the fact that they're willing and want to learn and understand and continue to get better is going to make a big difference.
All right. So speaking about, you know, we talked about earlier, the winning the Mick Lauck invite, you finish ahead of Monmouth Roseville to win it. I think that gives you some momentum going into the conference meet here in a couple of weeks, May 16th at Sherrard. So just the expectations, you've had a really good year so far getting to compete at the conference meet. Is that something you're looking forward to doing in the Three Rivers for the first time?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, I don't really know what to expect. I'm kind of taking it one meet at a time. Aside from Tuesday night, when I really intentionally tried to put together a lineup to win the meet, because I really wanted to win the Mick Lauck meet, I hadn't been putting together lineups with the intention of winning. Same for last year and the year prior, winning sectionals. We didn't put together a lineup thinking, okay, this is how we're going to win the meet. We just put together a lineup that gives our kids the best opportunity to showcase their talents. And these kids are great, but I've reminded them, like, we've got to take it one meet at a time. Like, your times are awesome and build on that and be excited about that. But every meet is a new meet and you have to show up and perform every time. So yeah, I'm pumped for the conference meet and to see some teams that we haven't seen at all this year, I think will be really great. And I look forward to that.
Well, it's amazing too. It just feels like the season, especially in the spring, goes by so fast where we're starting to kind of look towards the postseason in track and field and in baseball and softball too. So looking ahead, I know this is a little bit down the line, but just the sectional and then obviously you want some kids to compete at the state meet. Just the postseason goals you have for your group as you start to kind of look towards the postseason here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, again, we have a ton of talent. The 4x8, that's Mason Coulter and Brody Clark and Brady McPeak and Josh Struble. They have a very solid chance of qualifying. Jack McKnight always finishes high. 4x1, 4x2, 4x4. I mean, they all have very solid chances. Dalen in long jump in the 200. Even Liam Hodges has jumped just under state qualifying in high jump. So, I mean, we have a lot of potential for that meet. And I mean, every year my goal is to get as many kids down there as we can. And I think if they perform at the level that they're capable of, it shouldn't be a problem.
All right. And just the last question I have for you is more like a personal one for you. So you get a coach, son, John, right? And then daughter Helen is on the girl's side that competes as a freshman this year. I mean, how cool is that for you every day getting to coach with, you know, your son and daughter, both a part of the program too?
It is. It's totally awesome. I am a diehard through and through track person. I have been my whole life. So the fact that they are totally on board, it's their favorite sport too, is really awesome. I get to actually coach Helen because I'm the vault coach and she does pole vault. So it's really awesome. And, you know, they're great kids to coach. So that helps a lot too. And then Nora, my youngest, she tags along to a lot of the practices and meets as well. So it's a family affair and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's great. It's been a great start to the year for the Mercer County Boys Track and Field team. Speaking today with Mercer County Boys Track and Field Coach Emily Voller. Appreciate the time, Coach, and keep it rolling the rest of the year.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ty.
All right, and I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your feet will thank you.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter. In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
And welcome back to Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. This is Ty Taylor. We are speaking with longtime friend of the WRMJ Airwaves. That's Pat Elder, the new head coach of the Bureau Valley Storm in high school football. That was announced last week. So, Coach Elder, appreciate you taking some time to talk with us, sir, and congratulations on the new job.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, appreciate the opportunity, and I'm excited to get started.
So let's start by looking at what, for you, made the Bureau Valley job attractive and made you want to, you know, throw your hat into the application process, go through the interview process, and then, you know, ultimately accept the job. So what was it about Bureau Valley that drew you to the job originally?
Oh, I think, you know, as I enter the final phase here, it's going to open some opportunities for me, you know, that I think will be beneficial for me and my family down the road. So, you know, that was my interest, my real interest in it. Facilities wise, obviously they've got a great setup, a great building. It's a place that, you know, I believe can be successful. You know, lastly, and maybe most importantly, you know, the administration there, seems pretty invested in trying to get things, going the right way.
Well, you touched on the administration there, and I saw in one of the articles written about you taking the job, I think it was out of the Bureau County Republican by Kevin Hieronymus, Bureau Valley's superintendent of the school district called it a, quote, grand slam hire. So having that type of, you know, support right away from the administration, I mean, that's got to feel pretty good, right, as you take over a new program?
For sure. They were excited to talk to me. I was excited to talk to them, and they've certainly been pretty positive about the fact that I'm coming there. And again, I just have it, you know, Mr. Stabler, who's the superintendent, you know, a lot of people around here have worked with him and knew him from his time at Kewaunee, and just, you know, talk about what a good man, good leader he is. Mr. Price, the principal, was a teacher here at Cambridge. And again, the teachers here are all very positive about him. And Mr. Brisbillo, the athletic director and dean, is a guy that played for some football coaches that I know, and they're obviously very positive about him. So he's got a lot of good things going there. And we got, you know, I've had great support here at Cambridge. Bob Reagan, Tom Akers are the guys that brought me in and been good to me. And Mrs. Bibb, in her first year as superintendent, has just been outstanding. You know, but when you talk about some stuff, you know, getting away from having everybody in one building, going back to having everybody in one building will be really nice. You know, this co-op here has been great, been good for both schools, but you know, you run into challenges you're dealing with on stuff there that is one hurdle we won't have to clear. And, you know, that'll be nice to be back in one building with coaches and athletes both.
Well, in talking about Bureau Valley, you talked about it a little bit earlier there, you know, really great tradition, especially in the early to mid 2000s, a state championship, and they're a state runner up as well. And I know you were in the area during that time. So is that something that kind of plays into this at all? And is that something maybe you can try to tap into as you try to build some success back up in that program?
I hope so. I think so. You know, and, you know, you look on some rosters, you see some names to me that are familiar Bureau Valley names that they give a chance. And then, you know, heck, I'm old enough. I remember the schools that make Bureau Valley and, you know, all those schools. There's a lot of history there and a lot of success. And in a history of some strong athleticism there. Actually, when I was an assistant at Normal U-High, we played Bureau Valley in the first season they were open. I coached a game at Kenny Borquin Field. So we played them then. And even then, I remember, they had Luke Davis on that team who, was a great athlete, he was a 6'3", 230-pound punt returner for him, give you what kind of athlete he was. I know that. To me, there are a lot of similarities to me to when I went into Sherrard. Just, it's great facilities. It's a place that in the time I've been around it, known anything about it, has been successful. And so that's just kind of my approach going in. And my expectation is that we're going to try to figure it out and get things going the way we wanted to go. And of course, I'm taking over Coach Pistol, is a good coach, did a good job. Just wanted to, and had things trending the right way. Just, want to spend some more time with his family. And I think Matt thought that they would benefit from a coach in the building. And so me being in the building there, I think will be helpful also.
Well, we know with your history, obviously offensively, a lot of wing T stuff, and I'm sure you've had a chance to look at the personnel that Bureau Valley has returning. Does it look like you like how things match up with your system when it comes to the kids you'll be coaching this next season at Bureau Valley?
Oh, I haven't dove that far into it. My belief in what we do is that it allows for enough adjustment to use whatever abilities your kids have. And so, we'll adjust as needed and try to put our kids in a position to be successful, which is really at the core of everything we try to do.
So for you now going from Ridgewood to Bureau Valley, you're making the change from 8-man football back to coaching 11-man football. Specifically, was there anything that made this feel like the right time to make that change for you?
Like I said, I think this opens up some opportunities for us as a family. Football wise, ball's ball on that part of it. I actually think there's some stuff from 8-man that will transition into 11 and help us out a little bit. Some defensive concepts and just some things we had to get back to working on that really helped us on that side of the ball. But it's like I said, I think it's a great opportunity. I think they're eager to be successful. I believe we're going to be successful, and I think it's a good match on both sides philosophically, and that part of it has me excited.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to expand on with you. You hear a lot about sometimes coaches, switching from going from coaching 11-man football to 8-man football when, specific school districts maybe have to make the move to start playing 8-man football. A little less you hear coaches changing from coaching at the 8-man, game to the 11-man game. Now, you, of course, have had a lot of experience coaching 11-man football before your stop at Ridgewood is the 8-man coach there. So you talked about maybe being able to pick some things up that you picked up from the 8-man game. So what is it maybe that you believe that you were able to maybe implement in the 8-man game that you think could translate to 11-man football now at Bureau Valley?
On the defensive side, I just think some of the basic fundamental stuff you've got to do to be successful in 8-man. Not that you don't need to do them in 11. I just think people gloss over them a little bit more in 11 because they got more bodies to cover up some stuff. Just some basic, defensive discipline and technique that will actually, I think, free some other guys up to be in positions to make plays. Offensively, an 8-man, you can do some things to put people in conflict, and that's why it's such a high scoring game. And again, I think some of those principles will translate over and be able to help us as we move forward.
Well, something that I really love kind of following you with your time leading Ridgewood is you could really tell that you put your heart and soul into that program and had some really successful years. You talked about the reasons for why Bureau Valley felt like a good fit for you and your family, but still, was it tough to, move on from Cambridge and from the Ridgewood Co-op?
Oh, it was brutal. It was brutal. And talking to the kids here last week was, it was very difficult. I can only hope that I've been half as good for Cambridge High School and for the Ridgewood Co-op as it's been for me and my family as a whole. I mean, the people here have just been outstanding. You know, I mentioned Bob Reagan and Tom Akers and Jenna Bibb, and there's just so many people within the community that have been welcoming and great to work with and deal with, and they've just been so wildly supportive of what we wanted to do. No, I've greatly enjoyed it, I plan to be at the homecoming game next year. We don't have a game that day, I told the kids, you know, if I had an opportunity to come watch them play, I'd be here to watch them play. It was a difficult decision to leave, but I think it's best at this time.
Yeah, and I'm sure for you, Ridgewood obviously has got to hold a special place in your heart because, you know, you got to get back to being a head coach with the Ridgewood program. So how meaningful, I guess, was that to get back into head coaching at Ridgewood for you and your career?
Well, I wasn't even – funny you say that. It was great. Meant a lot. And then obviously the fact that, you know, the concepts and principles and the beliefs that I think will make a program successful still carried over and worked, made it even better. So, that part of it was good for me. And again, I think it was good for Ridgewood and good for my family. If you remember, right. You asked this question 3 years ago, I almost didn't even apply for the job. Gavin McDonough and Jake Johnson asked me, they were going to be seniors if I'd apply. And that was why I actually ended up even throwing my name in the hat. It was a wild experience. It was fun doing something new, having to figure it out. Right. When you I know you guys in the radio in podcasting world are adapting, adjusting and changing. And I would equate that to the same thing. Right. I've been coaching 11-man football for 20 some odd years before we went to 8. So some things change, and that was reinvigorating, really, is probably the best word for it. That would have been the most succinct way to answer your question. It was reinvigorating in every way. Got your juices flowing for football again, and let you know that you could be successful and still relate to kids.
And so you bring 23 years of head coaching experience to the new job at Bureau Valley and really a lifetime of experience around high school football. So just throughout your coaching career, I mean, what's maybe the biggest or some of the biggest things that you've had to adjust to in coaching high school football from the beginning now coming into your tenure at Bureau Valley starting in the fall of 2025?
I think the biggest, if we've adjusted anything, it's just been that we try to make sure that we're putting our players in a position to be confident. A big thing that we did here the last 3 years and something we talked about as a staff was that we assumed nothing with our kids. We assumed nothing. So, if an assistant coach said, I told them, did you show them? Had they physically done it? Did we show them on video? How do we go through this? Because, youngsters today will look at their head and say, oh, yeah, and they have no idea what you're telling them. And then you end up upset when things aren't done the way that you thought they're going to be done. So I mean, we walked through a lot of things to make sure we had an understanding of how all the pieces fit together and what we wanted to do and to get our kids to understand team and how the concept worked. And I really thought it was incredibly valuable for our kids and that it benefited us exponentially as we played.
Well, something I wanted to get your thoughts on before I let you go in terms of just the high school football landscape with all of your experience around the game in your career in lifetime is some of the changes the IHSA made to its enrollment classification policy specifically for football coming up in the 2025-26 school year is when this is implemented fully. So non-boundaried or private schools now can only apply for the waiver of that 1.65 multiplier if they haven't won a playoff game in 3 years, which is a change to what it was previously. I think previously you had to have won, I think 3 playoff games over 2 years. If you hadn't done that, then you could be eligible for the waiver. So for you, just your reaction to that, and do you think that's a good change for the landscape of IHSA football?
I hope so. I think it'll help a little bit. I mean, in heck, at this point, they got to try something, right? Ironically, I was on the Success Factor Committee. That put the initial policy in, and really some of the things, the initial what was originally recommended never made it to bylaw. And some of the changes now, I think, it's been a long time ago, it's been 12, 13 years, and it's longer than that now, not the point. I think some of the things that are being implemented were actually some of the stuff that we'd come up with in the original concept when we were trying to do it. I hope so. I hope it levels the playing field. I'm a guy. I liked football enrollment. That's what they had in the beginning of my coaching career. And I guess for logic reasons that made sense to me, that kind of put you at the level you'd been playing at all year. If it was bigger, or if you were a bigger school playing smaller schools, you then played schools your size in the playoffs. And that to me made sense. But that currently doesn't have a lot of momentum and solutions to the problem.
Yeah, so you mentioned football enrollment there, and it's interesting you bring that up, because when we did our Sportsline show from the IHSA Boys Basketball State Finals, on one of the IHSA administrators we had on was Matt Troha, and he spoke about that, where he said that something the IHSA had discussed is sending out maybe a feeler, I think is the way he described it, to member schools if they'd be open to exploring potentially going back to football enrollment in the future, which, like Coach Elder alluded to, there was just basically the average enrollment of your regular season opponents is what it comes out to be for you when you then play in the postseason. So you said you'd be in supportive of looking at that. Do you think that's something that potentially could get some support if they do end up looking to explore it?
Oh, yeah, I think it would. But, it's so many things are geographic. It's just like districts. If you live in certain parts of the state, you can't believe people don't want districts. And you live in different other parts of the state, you can't believe people do want districts. That factor comes into it. But I think it would. People don't appreciate that, the CPS was not always in, the Chicago Public Schools were not always in the playoffs. And that has dramatically changed the landscape of the playoffs and how things work. And so it at times I think that can water down some of your solutions on things, because that's just a whole nother animal that the IHSA has got to deal with that for the first 35 years of the playoffs, they didn't have to deal with. That's a factor that nobody has an answer to that greatly changes how the playoffs look every year.
And just speaking back about Bureau Valley now taking over the program. Now they've seen some change in conference affiliation where they moved from the Three Rivers to the Lincoln Trail. Now currently the Lincoln Trail in football is also it's a merger with the Prairie Land Conference that basically just forms one big conference between the two conferences with divisions that split them up based on enrollment. So I guess just the stability of that, have you heard much of that as you take over the job, or is that something that I guess you can worry a little bit later on?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've looked at the schedule for the next 2 years. I know who we got this year, I know who we got next year, and that part of it, you kind of start working on and looking at stuff. But yeah, you hope that brings some stability, but obviously as you're aware, it's become, whether you just don't know, right? Whether it be people, dropping down to 8-man, which you don't have to sell me on that. It's been great. It's just been a great thing. Or whether, one thing that I feel like has come out of COVID that I don't like, and this is purely my own opinion, is, but it's become easier for people to cancel a season, right? And so as we sit here and talk today, in August, somebody's going to say they're not playing football. That's got 9 games scheduled, and that's going to send some people scrambling for games. So they certainly appear to have a more solid situation schedule-wise than many people around the state do. So, yeah, that's a nice part entering into it, as they appear to have some stability in an area that a lot of people don't.
And you mentioned there how you've been able to take a look at your schedule at Bureau Valley for the next 2 years. Just anything stick out or anything specifically that you like about the schedule you get to play at Bureau Valley?
Well, it's just kind of funny. It melds two of my different worlds together in a lot of ways. Some of those Prairie Land people are old Olympic people. Yeah. And then as a kid, I grew up in the Lincoln Trail. So, there's a Farmington's in there, Macomb's in there, Rova's in there, you know, and all the Lincoln Trail schools were schools I knew as a kid. So, you know, just that part of it, it's, you know, it's big a world as it is. It's a small world at the end of the day, and everything ends up crossing paths one time or another. And that, so like I said, it kind of takes my time from high school with some opponents and takes my time from Sherrard with some opponents and ties them all into one.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up the Olympic conference there. I know my dad loves that you just said that, but talking about, you know, your career, and this is kind of how I want to end it. You mentioned your time at Sherrard there. My dad, he always talks all the time about how great it was covering the Pat Elder Sherrard teams in the early 2000s. And I know when we, you know, put out the story on our website and on our social media about Coach Elder taking the job at Bureau Valley, there were so many, I thought it was kind of a great walk down memory lane. If you read through the comments, there were so many like Sherrard kids you coached and their families, and the common theme in all their comments was like, man, they're happy for Bureau Valley because they think Bureau Valley got a great coach. So I guess how special is that? The relationships you've been able to build over your career, but specifically, you know, our listening audience, the station covered you the most when you were at Sherrard, and I know you've got a lot of fans still in the Sherrard school district.
Yeah, it's you know, people there, that was just fantastic. You know, I met my wife there, you know, when I lived there, and her and I was our first home and where we started our family, and you know, just had a fantastic time there, and I did get to talk to your dad a lot. We had some good teams. So, you know, we got some coverage and it was fun to be involved. And you had, you know, at that point in time, oh gosh, you know, you had me, you had Coach Hutton, and, you know, Neil Gawley was the baseball coach most of the time while I was there. And then Brady Stromquist was in charge of track. And we worked so well together. My last year there at Sherrard, I think we won 10 football games, 20 some basketball games. They lost in the sectional final, I think. And then they won 30 baseball games. You know, that's a pretty good stretch. And there were a lot of the same names involved. And, you know, that's what high school sports are all about, is being a multi-sport athlete, working together and being successful. And I thought, time I was at Sherrard, we did a great job of that, and I thought we were pretty fair to kids. And so it's been the fun thing about coaching track is I get to see a lot of old Sherrard, either former students who now have kids participating in things, or I see some grandparents all the time that I really enjoy talking to. And, you know, people over that way just have always been great to me and my family, and that'll always be, you know, part of our story and it was our home for the beginning of it for sure.
This has been a great talk with Pat Elder, who is taking over as the head coach of the Bureau Valley High School football program in the fall of 2025. Coach Elder, really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us, and best of luck in the new job at Bureau Valley. I'm sure you'll crush it, man.
Thanks, Ty. Appreciate it. Appreciate all you guys do.
All right, and I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your feet will thank you.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter. In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Sportsline on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo, wrapping up the show. Before we do wrap it up, want to talk to you quickly about what our local sports broadcast schedule looks like coming up this week. We have three broadcasts scheduled. High school baseball on Monday with Sherrard hitting the road to play Monmouth Roseville. High school softball Wednesday, Sherrard playing at defending 1A state champion Ridgewood. The Spartans have really turned it on in the second half of the season. They've been playing well down the stretch. And then Thursday, we have high school softball scheduled in the Track West with Mercer County hosting Riverdale. So it should be another fun week of local sports on the WRMJ airwaves. Hey, really appreciate you tuning in and listening to Sportsline. As always, a lot of fun doing this show week in and week out. All right, that'll put the wraps on the WRMJ Sportsline. Not too many of these left this school year. I think we're down, as I quickly do a count in my head, I think we have four left after this. So four more sports lines in the 2024-25 school year. Thanks for tuning in this morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. This has been Sportsline. I'm Ty Taylor.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.